and welcome to The Bookmonger. I'm John J. Miller of National Review. Thanks for listening. This show is a production of National Review, and we're recording from the studio WRFH, the campus radio station of Hillsdale College. Our guest is George Weigel, author of To Sanctify the World, The Vital Legacy of Vatican II. George, welcome to The Bookmonger.
Nice to be back, John. Thank you for having me.
Let's start with a quick reminder. What was Vatican II?
The Second Vatican Council, which met from 1962 to 1965, was a gathering of all the world's Catholic bishops, and by most historians' reckoning, the most consequential Catholic event in 500 years. It's also the most misunderstood Catholic event in a long time, which is why I decided to write this book.
So what's so misunderstood? What don't we get about Vatican II?
There are two lines of analysis that I think are really mistaken. One is that the Second Vatican Council was called to reinvent the Catholic Church from the ground up. That's wrong. That's not what ecumenical councils do. The second mistaken notion is that Second Vatican Council was a terrible mistake, never should have been called, let loose all sorts of demons in the church. That's a mistake because the church doesn't exist frozen in amber. The church develops and refines its teaching and its pastoral approach in order to meet the needs of a given moment in history. And in the mid-20th century, the civilizational project of the West badly needed some rescuing. And that's what Vatican II was called to do, to revivify Western civilization through a revitalization of Christian humanism.
Now, that's a big project. So did it have a specific teaching or a lesson? What are we supposed to take away from it?
I think the most important lesson to take away from Vatican II is what was inscribed in its pastoral constitution on the church in the modern world by the future Pope John Paul II, where the Council Fathers write that in meeting Jesus Christ, we not only meet the truth about God come among us in history, we meet the truth about ourselves. Christ reveals the true nobility and dignity of the human person. That was an essential teaching in a time dominated by Marxist theory, Nietzschean Superman theory, pragmatism and utilitarianism, which reduce all of us to little twitching bundles of desires. Catholic Church at Vatican II said no. There's a nobler conception of what it means to be a human being and a nobler conception of what our ultimate destiny is, and that's revealed in Christ.
When we talk about what Vatican II said, how did Vatican II arrive at its decisions? Do a bunch of cardinals get together and debate and vote? Does the Pope issue declarations? You know, how does this process work?
Well, the council was, interestingly enough, for people like you and me who are also interested in politics, Vatican II was the largest deliberative body with real legislative power in history. 2,500 bishops debated what became 16 texts or documents. All of those texts were developed over an extensive period of time, debated, refined, voted upon by overwhelming majorities, and then issued by the bishops and the Pope as the authoritative teaching of the Catholic Church. So this was an enormous kind of Catholic Congress, more like Catholic House of Lords, I suppose, given that it was all bishops. But it had real legislative authority.
Now, it did create a lot of confusion and controversy. Why is that?
Well, I think it's important not to make the logical fallacy post concilium ergo propter concilium, whatever happened after the council happened because of the council. That being said, the Second Vatican Council ended just as the Western world was entering the cultural tsunami of the 1960s. That is not a cultural moment when there could be a, that was not a cultural moment where there could be a calm, reflective deliberate implementation of the council's teaching. So, you know, the church got whipsawed by the 60s just as much as any other institution in the Western world. I think absent Vatican II, the wreckage that the 60s would have caused in the church would have even been greater. If you look at places where Catholicism has completely collapsed, Quebec, Ireland, to some extent Spain and Portugal, these are the places that resisted Vatican II most fiercely and had the most pre-conciliar concept of the church and its mission. So not everything that has happened in the church after the Second Vatican Council is the fault or the result of the Second Vatican Council. Now, that having been said, a lot of mistakes were made in implementing the council, and those mistakes were largely made by misunderstanding its teaching, what it actually said, which is why the middle part of this book is a close analysis of those 16 documents of Vatican II, read in their proper order.
George, you mentioned the problems the church has had in Ireland and other places. Where does it stand in the United States in terms of Vatican II? Did Vatican II work here? And I got to say, I do hear about pockets of resistance, questions about the validity of Vatican II among American Catholics. Help us understand how it works in our country.
Most council rejectionists here in the United States and elsewhere do not really understand Vatican II. They don't understand why John the 23rd thought it was necessary to summon the council. These people have rarely read the council's documents. Council rejectionism is in the main a function of social media and the Wild West of the Internet. As for the church in the United States as a whole, I think for all of our challenges and problems, we are doing better at implementing the authentic teaching of the Second Vatican Council than any other local church in the Western world. We've got all sorts of challenges to meet, not least the return of our people to church after the pandemic. I mean, that's pretty fundamental. The living parts of the world church throughout the world are those that have accepted the authoritative interpretation of Vatican II offered by John Paul II and Benedict XVI and are living their Catholic lives as missionary disciples, inviting others into the household of faith. This is particularly dramatically true in sub-Saharan Africa, where there has been an explosion of Catholic evangelism. Most people don't recognize there are now hundreds of millions of Catholics in sub-Saharan Africa, most of whom are first and second generation Christians. These are the people who have embraced the council and are living it with joy and with evangelical fervor.
What did Vatican II say about the principle of religious freedom?
Vatican II issued what is called the Declaration on Religious Freedom, and I think that was one of the pivotal events, pivotal accomplishments of the Council. The clear statement by the Catholic Church that religious freedom is a fundamental human right rooted in the dignity of the human person, a fundamental right tethered to the duty to seek the truth about God, but a right exercised in the clear understanding that God wishes to be adored by people who are free to make that decision. That transformed the Catholic Church into one of the world's foremost institutional defenders of basic human rights. If there is no Declaration on Religious Freedom, there is no Polish Pope. If there is no Polish Pope, the history of the last two decades of the 20th century is going to look somewhat different, because he was a pivotal figure in the collapse of European communism. So if you're looking for how the Council really had an impact on the world of affairs, as the world usually understands that term, the Declaration on Religious Freedom had a singularly powerful impact.
Final question. As we look forward into the 21st century and think about the legacy of Vatican II, what it is now, what it will be, are you optimistic or pessimistic?
I'm hopeful, John. Optimism and pessimism are matters of optics. And, you know, you can be an optimist Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and a pessimist Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, depending how things look out the window. The Holy Spirit has not abandoned the Church. Christ has not abandoned the Church. The Council was an authentic act of the Holy Spirit within the Church. It always takes at least 100 years for the Church to digest an ecumenical council. So we're only about halfway through the period of the true reception of Vatican II, and I hope this book helps accelerate the process of an authentic, faithful reception of the teaching of the council.
The author is George Weigel. The book is To Sanctify the World, The Vital Legacy of Vatican II. George, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, John.
Thanks to all of you for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to leave a review. Your reviews help new listeners discover us, and that helps us keep this show going. We'll be back next week with a new episode of The Bookmonger.